Hallelujah. So we're talking about revive, to restore to life or consciousness, to regain or get new. I like that part about getting new. So revive's on your bulletin. If you grab your bulletin, it's right up front. And that's what it's about. It's about resuscitating God's people, God's church, to take their rightful place in a dying world who so desperately needs Jesus. If you believe that, say amen. So right after this, let's drop the house lights down just a little bit and I'll get you set up and we'll be coming down with the screen as well. So in Acts, and let me read this to you. So it's Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. So everyone is out there in live stream land. Listen to this. Get your Bibles out. Make some notes. It's about basically the whole message is about the Holy Spirit. So you'll probably love that. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8, it says, "And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem." He asked them not to depart from Jerusalem. So he was talking about this this third person in the Trinity called the Holy Spirit. So God sent his Son, and the Son sent the Holy Spirit. Amen? God sent his Son sent the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're going to cover when we get into John 16. I'm just kind of giving you a warm-up here, lubing the tracks, getting you ready for the message. So don't depart from Jerusalem. So the message isn't much different than it is in 2021. A lot of people are going, "Hey, God, when are you coming back?" Or you believe God's closer to coming back than he was, you know, some time ago. But if you believe that, you would be right. He is closer to coming back. The Lord draweth nigh. So get your people ready for that. "But don't depart Jerusalem, but wait," say that with me, "but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" Not many days from now. So Jesus, when he was resurrected, was walking around planet Earth. A lot of people got to see him 40 days, and then he ascended into back up into heaven, and some days later, maybe 10 days or so, something like that, you find out that something very miraculous was going to happen. Let's talk about that just a little bit. His name's Peter, maybe one of the greatest preachers, men, if you will, that was one of the apostles. What was different about Peter after he got baptized in the Holy Spirit? We'll talk about that. So Peter was a lot like you and me. He wasn't sure what to say sometimes, and one maybe a little scared, and always told Jesus that, "I'll follow you, I'll follow you, I'll be with you, I'm going to follow you regardless of what happens, and no, God will never leave you." Say that with me. No, God will never leave you. But no, God will never leave you until something either better comes up or I get too much pressure on me. Let it marinate, because we want Jesus, but we want Jesus here in our church where it's safe and it's the four walls and don't have to worry about getting out there in the public or taking it out into Congress or a local government or a workplace, because we're part of an association and my association doesn't think that way, so I got to think like they do, and they think for me, and I'm a yes man. Here's the day I want to talk to some men of the church and not yes men. People that are ready to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and quit walking in the ways of the world. So as this, and this is where the power comes from. So Peter was like that. He just kind of thought like that. But then after the day of Pentecost, Peter started to talk different. He started to walk different. He started to act different. He started preaching different. The church started to grow because he got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen. So that's the goal of the church today, is allow God for this power to work inside of them. And here's the problem with going along just to get along. There's young people that are watching you. See, here's the deal with me. I can't do that. The only person I say yes to is God. I'm not hired out. They didn't elect a dancing bear to be in this pulpit. A yes man. They voted a preacher to be in this pulpit and a pastor to run this church. So I'm bound by the book. So if you don't like the messages that come from this pulpit, you'll have to take it up with God. I'm going to stand for God and His truth, even when people don't like to hear it. But this is going to get popular here one of these days. So when, verse 6 says, so when the, I just got two verses and then we'll roll our video. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. And maybe we're thinking that now, oh God, you know, if the Lord's coming back, surely he's going to be coming back really soon, because we can see the landscape that's out there right now. And quite frankly, it's a little frightening, or however you view it, whether you're on the right, the left, or the middle, wherever you're at. God has called us to love all people at all times, regardless of where they're at. And call things all in truth. I was thinking about my friend Brad as I get ready for his homecoming service this week. And in the end, I was there when he started his journey with Christ some 15 years ago, and I was there in his last couple of minutes. And I was so glad that Brett was that guy who decided to follow Jesus. And he worked in the workplace, and he was in construction amongst the language and amongst the jokes and everything. And he was the guy that stood up and told people about Jesus. And he taught his family about Jesus, and he stood here in the church, and he was very faithful. And there's one thing I remember about Brett. He was not a yes man. Right. He was a man that stood among men. And that's something you can hang your hat on. And I believe that's what God's looking for today, and not only his church, but just as the churches abroad, all over the land. So don't be worried about when Jesus is coming back. Just make sure that you're standing for him in the meantime. Amen? Yeah. I mean, so many people are worried about when God's coming, and he's coming, and we heard, you know, everybody, the phone rings more and more as Christ draws closer and closer. They go, what do you think about that? What do you think about this? I think about it the same way I thought about it before. It's pretty messed up and pretty apt to stay that way unless you let Jesus into your life. So here's the last thought here in verse 8. It's coming up to 8. So it's not for us to know the times. He's got this fixed. And he says, but you will receive power. Say that with me, power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So he is setting us up. Let's just do this. So he set you up and me up and everybody on live stream, setting us up with power from above to be his witnesses out there in a lost and dying world. And they'll be attracted to that, not because of you or me, but because God lives inside of us. And I'll expound on that when we get into John 16. So let's pray on that note as we get ready for the offering. So Father God, the offering that is being picked up is for you. It is for your church. It is for the people who need to hear about the gospel message, not just on Sunday, but the other 6 days of the week. And we know it's going to get out there because of the power of the Holy Spirit, and it be taught and spoken love. I ask, Father God, today that you show yourself to each and every person that is gathered here today, and that today, especially today, on this day of being revived, that the offering would be blessed. And I pray that today in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll applaud the Lord, let the offering be picked up, and go ahead and roll that video. Thank you.
As I travel to churches all across the country, I meet thousands of people who tell me that they feel discouraged and weakened by all the moral decay that's closing in around them. And they say, what happened to the power of the church? Where is our hope? No nation has ever been rescued from moral and economic ruin apart from the church turning their whole heart back to God. Our hope is not in the president. Our hope is not in the Supreme Court or in the laws we pass or in any of our accomplishments. Our hope is in the power of God working in the hearts of moms and dads, families, churches, communities, reviving our nation from the inside out and the bottom all the way up to the top. We don't need a king. We've already got a king. His name is Jesus Christ. He wasn't voted into office, and he wasn't elected by the media. Foreign policy, he's called the ruler of the nations. Border control, he says to every nation, this is your boundary, and to the sea, here and no further. Discrimination, he himself was an outcast and was crucified. Welfare, he gives food to the hungry and cares for the needy. Healthcare, he is the great physician who heals the sick and conquered the grave. We don't need a king. We have the King of Kings.
Me, if you would, and turn your Bibles into John chapter 16, and we will get into this. It is my pleasure to present this gospel to you. Father God, as we place our hands on your spoken word, we believe that it is paramount of, Father God, of epic proportions that we get this in our spirit today through your spirit, the Holy Spirit. And for every man, woman, and child that is here and those who are on live stream, that they would receive this message all in love, all for you. In thy name of Jesus, we pray today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. So John chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. I'm gonna throw that out there real quick and kind of get that done so you know what's to come. And I think the church before you, the service that was before you, was a little stunned at some of the things, Kelly, and the things that were or to come to us as believers. They were kind of all looked at me like they were in shock, like the world somehow loves Christians, like the world somehow loves the church. Listen to me very carefully. The world doesn't love the church, and the world doesn't love Christians. As a matter of fact, I might even be as bold as to say, I don't believe that the world even really understands what true biblical love is. But there is a definitive answer in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses probably 4 through 7. If you read it there, that is the biblical definition of love. The world can look it up. And God has called us to love the people the same way somebody loved you and brought you into the kingdom of God. Amen. Would you remember that the somebody in the church, somebody of Christ, reached out to you, showed you the love of Jesus, you made a choice, and you got brought into the kingdom by his love. Say that, by his love. So the message of Christ is, on the contrary, it's not a message of hate at all, but it's a message of love. God's people, amen. I have said all these things to you. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. We'll read three verses here. They will put you out of the synagogues indeed. The hour is coming. Hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering a service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father, nor me. Wow. So he's telling these people, his followers, some things. And he's talking about the world. And he said they're going to keep you out of the synagogues or put you out of the synagogues. And maybe there's a double meaning here. Maybe they're keeping you out of the churches because you don't play the part. Or you won't dummy yourself down to their teaching. Or they'll keep you out of the synagogues. Or people will be trying to keep you out of church. Either way you look at it, I think both would be true and could be true in the statement, if I may. And I want to tell you about the churches. The church isn't truly the church unless it's empowered by the power of the Holy Ghost. It's a social setting where people gather to make themselves feel good. And a lot of times what they'll try to do is dummy down the Bible, and if they certain groups don't like the Word of God, they'll rewrite the Word of God to get it to say what they want it to say. But they have no Holy Spirit. And you say, well, how is that, Pastor? How is it you find out if the church has no Holy Spirit? You'll find out if the church has no Holy Spirit when they start preaching things that are false, because the Holy Spirit will not allow me to preach anything other than truth. So if somebody's in the pulpit or in a pulpit If the word of Christ isn't being spoken, or the word of truth isn't being spoken under the influence of the Holy Ghost, it's just a talking head standing on top of a soapbox. And you start to run this in your mind, and you say, okay, well, we'll get to it. What is he talking about here? So he's talking about John 15. And he's talking about the hatred of the world towards the Christian. So do I believe we're there? I absolutely believe we're there. Do I worry? Not at all. I don't worry at all. I think there's more of a, it's better, it's easier for us to preach the love of Jesus Christ to a world because they're so far away. Sometimes the hardest people to reach are people who think they're religious. Right. Amen. I'll say that again. I mean, religion doesn't get you any closer to Christ than the world does. Amen. Just because you got religion doesn't mean you got Jesus. Yeah, so let me say this, you know. So when you ask someone if they're born again, I don't need to know your affiliation to the church. We're Baptist or we're Pentecostal or we're Catholic or Presbyterian or whatever. That doesn't mean that you're saved. If I ask you if you're saved, I'm asking if you've given your life to Jesus and is he your Lord and Savior. Amen. I don't need to know your badge number. Right. Amen. I mean, some a lot of time. I mean, you guys don't do it, but you have friends that may. So when I want to be affiliated with the things of the kingdom of God, I have to be affiliated with his son, who's the Savior. So there's God the Father, his son is the Savior. And salvation lies there in the redemptive work that he did at the cross of Calvary. And then the power of the church comes through the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And that's what makes people jump and shout and get excited about God. 15:18, so here's what he's talking about. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. Oh my. So a lot of times people think that Christianity is a religion of hate. Just the opposite. It's a religion of love. And it's not the church that hates. It's the world that hates the church. I'm going to get close enough to where you're going to start talking to me. Somehow they switched it around and think that the church hates the world. No, we love the world or we love the people, but we don't love the worldly ways. Right. Let me keep going. See, if you were of the world would love you as its own. So that's kind of like a big cuddle huddle. Verse 19, if you were of the world would love you as its own. And we all kind of give like a group hug when everybody's just like, say it with me, we're okay. What we try to do is just like, everybody's okay. Well, here is, if everybody's okay, why do you have to keep reaffirming it over and over again? Actually, what the world ought to say is, we know we're lost and we know Jesus, but we just can't put our pride down to go accept him. Here's the problem with pride today. If you're too proud to come to Jesus, that's where he leaves you. Can I keep going? Everybody's getting quiet. I wonder if the world is listening. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, so God's trying to pluck you out of the world and bring you into the kingdom. Out of the world, into the kingdom. Out of the world, into the kingdom. Therefore, the world hates you. Again, oh my gosh. Well, they hate me because I'm at church on Sunday preaching the gospel? What is it they hate about me? They hate it. Because you're not like them. Because if you're like them, they can control you. But if you're born again, you're free and not bound. Well, you'll get it. You'll figure it out here in a minute. Verse 20. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than its master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name. Oh my gosh. So they were going to do all these things to us on account of the name of Jesus. And then maybe that's why, listen to, he says, because they do not know him who sent me. Remember, God sent his son, and the son sent the Holy Spirit. We're going to get into that in 16. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. I don't like anybody talking about my sin. Here's the deal. Jesus is going to talk about it one day. There'll be a test at the end of the book. Whether you read it or not is up to you. But everybody's going to die one day. Where you end up is completely up to you. And if you choose today not to make a choice, you have made a choice. Well, we don't know if we like that. Here's the deal. It's too bad. So sad. The Lord draweth nigh. He's here, man. I had a friend of mine call me the other day, a good friend of me and Brett's. He used to run around with me. And Brett, he said, I guess that's it. I'd never heard anybody say that before. That's it. And that's true. That's a true statement. But if you're born again, that's just the beginning. Right. Amen. Amen. Hey, now let's get real. Let's get real. Let's get down to guy stuff. If that was it, I was standing there with him, and I was with his two daughters and his wife in the end, and then that was it. Man, that would be bad. And we lived 57 years, and that's it. Man, that's only the beginning. You haven't reached the finish line. You're at the starting line now. All new things. All the people that have gone on before him. He's going to see him in glory. If that, watch this, Laurel. If that was really it, when he was there, I should have just shook him and go, man, we should have partied more. We should have done more. But here's the real deal. We did all that. And watch this. It didn't work. That's what brought us to Christ. All that stuff out there didn't work. Man, hey, let me tell you something about my buddy Brett. He's in glory. Man, if you ain't getting Jesus after today, it's your own fault. It ain't because I ain't preaching it right or the Holy Ghost ain't in the house. Amen. It's just because you decided to come in and just hear something that's called a history lesson. But unless you apply it to your life, it doesn't mean anything. All right, I got to get to the message because some of the guys are going, oh, you're going long. You went long on the last one, man. Hurry up. I was like, I was trying to. You're going long. They're pushing me here and then pushing me back. Let me get to this, verse 26, and then we'll get into the message. But when the helper comes, so some of your Bibles may say advocate or counsel or whatever. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. I will send to you from the Father the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Amen. All right? So here comes the message. Here comes the message. Start in verse 4, 16:4. But I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you remember that I told them to you. Remember this is red letter edition. I told them to you, so when you walk out of the church today, you have the word of God on you. What you do with it is completely up to you. But we want you to know that you are assigned a job as a Christian. That's to tell other people about the love of Jesus. Amen. Sometimes that's hard to do, especially for a dude, and especially for a guy that's in construction. Because that's some of the things me and Brett talked about through the week on the phone. It's like, oh, man. Amen? Oh, man, if you guys had a conversation on the phone. And it's like, oh, you know what? And I told some of the people, like when you're under construction and you're a Christian, you're trying to follow the Lord and lead your family, sometimes the worst thing in the world is if some guy, it's not going to mean much to girls, but the guys will understand this. It's like, when the guy's mean mugging you, yeah, I mean, and Brett would call me sometimes. He goes, you know what, man? He goes, this dude, look at me, guys, all guys, girls, they won't. They'll go, what does that mean? The worst thing in the whole wide world I could ever think of, ever, was for me to be somewhere with bread or without, and then some dude way across the way, and he could be like way at the back here, and I'd be over here and be like, I was like, is that dude, are you, hold on for a second. I go, are you mugging me? Say that with me, guys. Are you mugging me? For a minute there, I thought she was mugging me. No, now, hold on. Now I'm sure of it. Yeah, God can tolerate anything, but because, and then, if your buddy was trying to get you revved up, he would be like, yeah, dude, it looks like he's punking you. Come on, I need a guy to say amen here. And we're working through the Holy Spirit. You go, well, what restrains you? Because there's a fight going on between the flesh and the spirit. And what keeps you in the tractor, running the equipment and not getting down out of the tractor, is nothing but the Holy Ghost. He's comforting you, he's counseling you, and he's keeping your rear end in the seat where you need to be. Because the flesh would like to act out. The flesh would like to have a coming out party, but because I fed the spirit man so much, he puts a seat belt on me. In a bobcat or tree, you got to pull the thing down. So here's the deal. The Holy Spirit works that way with everybody. Instead of maybe getting off your tractor or whatever, maybe you would like to send a thumbs down on somebody's Facebook post. Oh, did they just go there? And I know it's worse than mugging. But we're called through the power of the Holy Spirit is to show a little refrain. I would like to act out and give a thumbs down on your post, but the Lord has restrained me to speak out in love. And we call them again, once again, we call them head scratchers. We go, I don't know what's going on in your world, but here's the deal. I'm going to pray for you right now because really, I'd like to. Amen. I'm doing the girls' version of the guy getting out of the tractor. Do it with me, girls, with the finger and everything. I'd like to. Like to. If it happens to be your child that's in the mix, it really goes in, hand on the hip and everything. Oh, girl, you didn't just do that. Amen. You could be, I'm not going to get into specifics, but you could be at a baseball park for kids. And somebody could say something about your grandchild sliding down a slide or something. And my wife could be all the way over yonder and say, oh, girl, you just didn't. And my daughter would come over and confirm, oh, yes, she did, Mom. Because she's around. Oh, yes, she did. She said it. Oh, God, here we are at the ballpark. Oh, Jesus loves the little children. Is everybody okay? I mean, these are real life stories. That's why you come to churches, get filled up. So when you go to the ballparks and you go to the place, you go, I got to bring this thing in a little bit. I'm doing better in this service than I was the last, so. If it ain't true, don't clap. I'm reading your mail. I've seen some of your family reunions. So back to the Holy Spirit, he's going to lead us into all truth and all that, and so we got to speak in love and everything, because here's the deal. Let me read a few more things, and we'll make this a little bit shorter today than we did on the other guys. They needed help a lot worse than you guys do, I'll tell you. You guys are getting it. Go down to 5. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you ask, where are you going? But because I have these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. Shelby, if you're playing, you can come up. It'll be to your advantage that I go away. And nobody likes Jesus to go away, or we always want to be with our friends. And he goes, but I need to go so the helper can come. And you're going, hold on for a second, Jesus. Don't you remember he was teaching Peter and he was teaching the apostles and he was teaching all these people? But the power didn't come, Jeannie, until the Holy Ghost arrived. So it's going to be the same for you. You go, oh, Pat, teaching our kids are in Sunday school and all the teaching is wonderful, but it doesn't get real, Randy, until the Holy Ghost deposits a new system in you. You got to admit right now the system, not only in your life and the world and the government and all the places, that kind of system, you go, man, this thing looks like this thing, Terry. It doesn't look like it's working real good. So the new system, or the new covenant, is the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I'm pretty excited about the Holy Spirit more today than I was the day before yesterday. Amen. So hold on for a second, and then I'm going to ask you to rise here in just a second. I was talking to my friend, and we were, I'm going to be real with you. Go ahead and I'll rise and I'll explain this to you. So I told you this before, but if you didn't hear, I feel like I ought to tell it again. So me and my wife are looking at a new horse and this horse I'm looking at is really good and he's really young and he's really fast and he's really savvy. And I'm just kind of looking around and I'm on it, you know, and I'm digging the horsepower, you know. And I'm like all guys, I'm like, you know, I go, is this really the, I mean, is he the guy? And he looked at me like this. He's a young guy. He's a good kid. He's a cowboy. He says, isn't it obvious? I mean, out of all the horses that they own. Look at me for a second. It's the guy I was telling you about, Wes. And he said, isn't it obvious? Because here's the deal, Debbie. If there's a better one and a faster one, I want that one. I didn't come down here to get the one that's okay. I want the one. I want the one that's gonna scare me to death. Hold on for a sec. Guys are gonna get this. I want something that's gonna rock my world. I've already had mediocre, and we've pumped it up. We've put a new pipe on it, a new tuner, and a whole nine. We've done all that. It always left us just a little bit dry. You go, man, I want something that's got some power. I want something that, you know, after I rode him the first time, I said, oh, my Lord. And it almost scared me so much. Go, I got to go back. Come on, stay with me. Something that's so scary, you know you actually need, because when he comes into your life, he's going to rock your world. He ain't like any drug or any alcohol that you could ever get. He replaces all that with power that can only come from heaven above. Hey, man, it's the real deal. It's the real deal. I'm preaching the truth today. Why you want to go after some dead god, some idol, some statue, some god that couldn't raise himself from the dead? Just look at your neighbor and say, that ain't going to work for me, man. I don't want some old dead nag, some dead head. I already got that in this pasture out here. I want something that's going to rock my world. We've had that, Laurel and Greg. Had it. Woo, yippee. Oh, yippee. Ooh, the late nights. Oh, yeah. Ask them. They'll tell you. Oh, we're looking up some old pictures for the homecoming service. Oh, that's going to be something. There's nothing but mullets and attitudes out there. Oh, attitudes. You go, what's the attitude about? It's just a guy trying to find himself. Or a girl trying to find herself. She was whatever y'all are doing out there. Some of you guys are doing it right, but I can tell you what's out in the world for y'all. Ain't nothing out there at all. If I was to keep on preaching in the 16, what he's trying to do is teach you how to love people that are unlovable, try to stay away from fights, try to know right from wrong, and try to spread the love of Jesus even to people who are unlovable. And let's be honest, some people that you know, maybe even in this church, are hard to like. That's why some of you guys are here at the 10 o'clock service and not at the 8:30, because you know they go to that one. Oh, dude, I'm sitting on the other side of the sanctuary today. Girl, if she shows up, and everybody knows it's somebody, something or other, and baby daddy, mama drama, whatever. They walk in the church. Oh, well, you ain't going to believe this pastor going to try one on me. I guess they act like this is all new. Everybody in this church has got a story. Don't walk in here and act like you got it all together. As soon as you do that, you forgot where you left it. Can we get real before God today? Just today. Let's bring the house lights down and I'm going to crack this one on you. I want to know how many people here today would like to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You said, Pastor, where are you getting the power from? Where are you getting the power from? Well, I've tried to place it in other things and get it through other things. Man, it always left me empty, Kenny. Oh, it's just a power from anything, power from this. And it always left a void in my life until I tried Jesus. I invited Jesus into my life and I got born again, and now I'm living under some crazy supernatural power that I didn't even think was real. I'm loving people that I never thought I would love. I'm talking to people I never thought I could talk to. Hatred is far from me and God is near. How would you like to just walk out of here, Terry, and go, you know what, man, dude, I don't know what your rap sheet is, but I'm going to tell you something. Jesus loves you and I love you. And how about some of the sisters that are in here today? Isn't there somebody young out there in the world that you could witness to? Maybe a girl going down a wrong path that you could pull her aside and hey, girl, you ain't got to act like that. Does anybody want to walk in the authority of Jesus today is what I'm asking. There's a lot of lost and broken people out there today that they're very misguided. They think by gaining the world, they're gonna gain some type of status that's going to rescue them. So here's the deal. Here's the prayer. Let's pray together. Just say this right here. Say, God, I want my value to come from you. Man, that's cool. That's a cool prayer. God, I want, watch this, and look at God like he's here today. Say, God, I want all my value to come from you. And then say this, watch this. I want my approval to come from you. And then say this, and we'll end with this. And God, I want to make you happy today. Okay, open up your eyes. You know, when you do that, when you make God happy, you don't have to worry about trying to make anybody else happy. Here's the deal. I'm going to try to lift something off of you. Because I know if I make God happy today, he's going to send this Holy Spirit, and I can go around and be a light to so many dark places in the world today. But man, if I can't get peace with God, I ain't going to get it from anybody else. Because we got people that are broken out there in the world. So before we close the service today, now I'm going to ask you to do something. For the first time, maybe it's just the first time for you, that you finally laid it down. And if what I just said struck a chord to you, I want you to kind of slide out of your aisle there. Say, God, I want you to get real with me today. Just slide out your aisle. your chair and then just come down here. Say, God, I want you, I'm going to lay my burden down. You say, well, I was mad at so-and-so. Oh, there you go. Here we go. We didn't even talk about this. I'm mad at so-and-so, and I'll forgive them, God, but here's the deal. I'll never forget. Oh, well, here's the deal, man. If you can't forget about it, it still owns you. It's eating your lunch. Somebody's running your life. Here's the deal. We got people's lives that are being run all over the country by people we ain't never going to meet. I've seen them on TV, Pastor. They're doing this. They're doing. Who cares what they're doing on TV? Probably just a bunch of people from Hollywood that need Jesus anyways. Would you like to lay all that strife down and all the craziness? It's just crazy. Say, God, I'm carrying it around like a backpack. Anxiety. That should hit somebody here today. Anxiety. Who's got anxiety in this church? Come on down. Come on now. I put it out there. I just wonder who's going to get real anxiety.
Come on.
Just laden with it. You're worried about everything. Everybody's worried about it. That's the way the devil likes to keep you, Pastor Jay's all bound up. Would you come and put your hand on somebody's back down here, brother? Just this anxiety. They got just anxiety everywhere. Anxiety, they're worried about everything. Here's the deal, man. Worrying ain't going to add one day to your life. Just raise your hand and just say, right now, I'm turning it over to Jesus. I'm laying all my burdens down. I'm laying all my worries down. Did you hear what I said today, church? Lay your worries and lay your burdens down. All come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and lay those burdens down. You know what it looks like? It looked like a spiritual backpack on your back, all the stuff you're worrying about and carrying on about. I'll ask this class, how much energy are you burning up? On funky, nasty stuff. Oh, burn up a bunch of energy. Here's what I want you to do today, church. Take all that energy that you got and turn it into something good and tell people about Jesus. Invite them to church today. You got a child out there, lost, lonely, dying, suffering, pain? Y'all be praying for them today. You say, Pastor, does prayer really change things? Look in the pulpit right here. Changed my life. You say, well, can't I do it later? Can't we just like do it later? I guess you can if you still got breath in your lungs. But I don't know if you're guaranteed it. Man, I tell you what, if it come to my kids and my grandkids, I ain't waiting on it. I'm praying for protection on my grandkids and my kids at least twice a day and maybe three times on Sunday. How about marriages? I'm going to keep going. How about in-laws, outlaws, ex-laws? You can keep going, Shelby. Let me leave you with a prayer here. Lord, there's some people in this church right now that are ready to get honest. They're tired of playing spiritual patty cake. Got some men in this church, Lord God, that are going to rise up as a standard. They're going to be like an oak by the living water that flows constantly. I pray that you baptize them, Father God. I pray that you draw them close as we draw close to you. In thy name of Jesus, God's people said amen.